needed. Well, let's turn to the book of Philippians this morning. The book of Philippians. We are speedily getting through this book, this epistle to the church at Philippi. We're in chapter 1 still. I just said we're speedily getting through it, and then I said we're in chapter 1. We're going to just, that's just the way it goes. We are going to, Lord willing, get through most of this chapter. Let's see. Yeah, we're going to finish this chapter today. Lord willing. Lord willing. People always say, I'll be at church tonight, Lord willing. I said, the Lord's willing. But then I'll turn around and say, if the Lord's willing, it's like, he was willing, but you were rambling too much. Right? Okay, y'all looking at me like seriously. No. Okay, Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. Bible says, what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I in there do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now we talked about last week, and we've seen this last week, there was preaching, and Paul said this, the things which happened unto me have happened have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And what the thing he said, so he says some are preaching, he said Christ being preached, some are preaching of contention. He said there's people that are preaching with the goal of hurting me. He said then there's others preaching for the love of Christ, because of what I'm doing, what I'm suffering, they're being emboldened for this. He said, listen, whether they're preaching of contention or whether they're preaching for the right purposes, for the right goals, he said, either way, Christ is preached. He says, I'm going to rejoice. Paul was a crazy fella. He was crazy. When I say crazy, I mean compared to the way we think. Well, you know, we just need to straighten them out. Paul said, I'm just glad they're preaching Christ. Isn't that something? We need to get a big dose of that. I'd like to re-preach that this morning. I'm not going to. But we need to get a big dose of that. The fact that, listen, God doesn't give us the job to straighten everyone else out. Aren't you glad for that? Because I'll tell you what, I've not been very effective at straightening other people out. You know what I mean? You know who's God's given us the instruction to straighten out? That guy you look at in the mirror, or the lady that you look at in the mirror every morning. That's who God has. That's right. If we deal with that, of course, we got some other things going on here. So Paul then is going to go. He said, so that's where we get to this. Then what then? Okay, that's going on. What then? Again, verse 18. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, right? Or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Here's the dilemma. Number one is the dilemma. Okay, the dilemma. We do not know which way our path will lead us. What's God going to do with my life? I don't know. What's God going to use your life? What path? I'm not talking about what mistakes, what sin will I get in that's going to mess up my path. I'm not talking about that, right? That's the difference. That's me. But what path, me living for Christ, which way is God going to lead me? What's he going to do with my life? Am I going to be in a small corner of a small place doing a small thing, and that's what God wants me to do? Or is God going to put me in the big place with many people and do some big thing? By the way, whether God does that with me or God does that with me, it's what he wants to do. Which one is more important? Yeah, there's not really a more important, is there? Because you say, well, this one, so many more people get reached, so that must be more important. Well, maybe this one is what a lot of people could do. It's easy to go where it's easy. And I'm not saying that's always easy, but to go over here maybe in a place that somebody needs to get there too. So which one is more important? Which one is more valuable? Which one is more needful in that respect? So what we can look at here then is to say, which one of those is God going to lead me to? Here's the answer. I don't know. How you like that? That's the dilemma. That's the dilemma. So we don't know if He'll bring us through a wonderful, glorious celebration of life. I mean, you ever seen people that their life seems to be completely without conflict? Right? There's their life for Christ seems to be like they're always happy. I mean, there's this great family, this great situation. They're happy. They're going through no matter what they go through. Everything is just wonderful and great. And you're sitting there thinking, man, that's not fair. Right? You're like, or maybe you're just thinking, what are they doing? What are they doing to have that situation? And you look at that and you're like, wow, that is wonderful. By the way, you see them at church. Right? You see them in that piece of their life. But here's the thing. Some people just do go through life with a lot less conflict, a lot less turmoil. But then there's those on the path that God will lead us this through great toil and strife. I'm trying to put two words together. Toil and strife, you see that? And they're going through this, and it's constantly heartache. And I'm not talking about sin. What we do to ourselves is different, right? What we do to ourselves is, that's us, right? But there's things that God, I'm talking about on this respect, what God leads, what kind of path God's going to lead us through in this life of serving Him. So sometimes it's at ease. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's full of people that are encouraging you all around you. That's a wonderful thing. Sometimes it's full of place where there's not much encouragement. And we become like King David we have to encourage ourself in the Lord. And so some of that situation, this is the dilemma. We really do not know how things are going to go for us. You ever been sick unto death? I don't know if you've ever been sick unto death, had a sickness that you didn't know this may be it. I've been like that often. No, not really. Not really. My kids would think I am. I've never really been there. But you could, some things. I did, you know, some couple years ago, I had this deal. I was dizzy all the time. I was kind of getting this, like, imbalance. Like, and I'd have to put my hand on somewhere. I'd find it would go up in the choir. I'd go up in the choir, and I'm just like, I put my hand there, and I thought, I'm not even going to sing because I'm going to run out. I'm going to fall. I'm going to pass out. I'm going to fall right here. I'm going to embarrass my whole family. So I didn't want to do that. And this was going on. It was going on, I thought. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, it could be this. Could be, this. You know, check my heart. Check this. I thought maybe I was taking allergy shots. I said, what are you doing to me? And they said, no, it couldn't be that and this. And finally, my doctor said, well, it could be an aneurysm. What a blessing. What a blessing to tell a guy it could be an aneurysm. I'm like, we had done a 5K. I did a 5K dizzy like that. That was before she told me it was an aneurysm. So she said, it could be your heart, it could be this. All of a sudden they said, you got an aneurysm. I'm thinking, I'm going to die any moment now. I didn't really think that, but I thought, wow, all of a sudden something starts thinking it could be. Which that doctor, I wish she wouldn't have told me that because it was nothing like that. It was probably inner ear stuff that came. It just went away. I don't know what happened, but praise the Lord. But, you know, we don't know what God's going to take us through in our life. We don't know if He's going to bring us to the point of death and end our life. I know missionaries. I know this. There's this missionary couple going to England. They had graduated Bible college. I think he did an internship. Now they're on their way. They're on deputation to England to go to raise support to go to England and start plant churches. And he was with a group, and the car spun out, and he died. You there's a point that you say, God, why did you... You know what I'm saying? Well, God, this is somebody that was in the middle of really serving you, giving their life serving you. Why did you... You know what the answer to that is? I don't know. It's the dilemma. We don't know. That is the dilemma for us. Paul didn't know either. I want you to grab a hold of it. He's the great apostle Paul. He wasn't a prophet in the way that we would see some of the Old Testament prophets. They knew what was coming in the future. Paul wasn't like that. He was a fellow that God was gave him some giftedness and some things, and God did speak to him some different things, but he didn't know what was going to happen with them either. And that's kind of what we're coming up to here. We're in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Remember, where is Paul at right now? He's in prison. He's in prison in where? In Rome. Okay, good. So according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Okay, so Paul had this expectation that he was going to be released from prison. So I'm going to get out of here. I believe this. I believe I'm going to get out of here. Look down to verse 25. He says, and having this confidence, I know, that's a strong word, I know that I shall abide and continue with all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul believed he was coming. Paul believed he was getting out. He was going to go there. He had this expectation of that. Can I tell you right now, Paul never did make it to them again. He didn't make it there. His life ended there in Rome. So there's no biblical record of the end of his life. There's no biblical record. It's commonly believed. When I say it's commonly believed, I would say, when I say commonly, most agree from pieces of the history that's out there. Most believe, and when I say this, there's nothing to contradict it, that he was executed by sword around 64 A.D. That date is it's hard with some of those dates, but around that time frame, after there was a burning in Rome. Rome was burnt, and much of Rome was burnt, and it was blamed on the Christians, of course, right? Same game that's always been done. But about 70% of Rome was lost in the fire. And so, as you can imagine, they were upset, and this is what suggested that it was at that time when it was blamed on the Christians, and Paul became, but because he was being a Roman citizen, he couldn't be crucified. He was put to death by sword and probably had his head separated from his neck, and that's where he was most likely what folks believe happened there. So therefore, Paul's expectation wasn't based on knowledge from the Lord. The Lord didn't tell him, Paul, you're going to get through this. You know, sometimes if folks get sick, real sick, or have a situation in their life or something, and sometimes we want to say stuff like, hey, it's going to be okay. Isn't that kind of our line? No, it's going to be okay. You know, you're like, my guts are hanging out. I'm bleeding to death. What do you mean it's going to be okay? Right? You know, what we'd say, no, it'll be fine. You know, that's kind of our way of just, I don't know what to say. Hey, how you doing? I don't know what to say. So we say it's going to be okay. In this sense, it's going to be okay. God's doing something here. Okay? You could trust the Lord. I think that's maybe, it's just trust the Lord. It's like, man, I'm really sick. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. You know what I want to tell folks is this, and I will say, I don't know if you're going to make it either. I don't know. God doesn't tell me if you're going to make it. Matter of fact, God doesn't promise us all that we're going to make it through whatever we're going through. That's not our promise. But there is something I think that we ought to grab from this, and that's this thing of a confident expectation. I expect God to do something. And I think probably what makes sense is I think God's going to get me through this. right? I mean, to expect to die is kind of a weird, morbid type of thing. But and I mean just in the sense, we don't say, oh, man, I got an ingrown toenail. This is it. This is it. No, I mean, you know, we don't think that. That's kind of weird. But Paul had this expectation. But it wasn't based on the knowledge that God had given him. But it was simply on his own hope. But hope in what? Look at verse 19. Here's what he says again. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Watch what he says here. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says this, Paul believed in the power of prayer. Paul said this another place. He said, pray with us for us, that we might have boldness to preach the gospel. It's hard to think of people like these, like particularly like the Apostle Paul, needing prayer, doesn't it? It's almost weird. It's like this guy was super amazing and did all this stuff and almost died many times, but he just trusted God and stoned to death, and he just gets up. That's cool. Wipes himself off. Let's go back and preach again. You're thinking, this guy is just like super Christian, right? But no, that's not. He just had learned to trust God. And he said, listen, we pray with me. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul said, pray with us that we can have the boldness to preach. Like, you need boldness to preach? He did this many times, but Paul said, no, I need that. And so he's seen this power of prayer. Listen, can I say this? When I think about people that believe in the power of prayer, I don't think they mean some mystical well-wish and faith. Like, hey, let's just pray for that. I'm praying for you, brother. Praying for you. I had a guy one time, and I might have told this before, but God really did something in my heart with this. And so there was a missionary came. He was a missionary to Scotland. And this is probably 20 plus years ago, 22, 23 years ago. And in English we say things because we just say things. English is a language of niceties. It really is. Other languages don't have the niceties that we have. If you don't know other languages, trust me, they just don't have it. And that's why when you hear people that learn English as their second language, they're rude. They're not trying to be. They just don't know how to use the niceties of English. Hey, how you doing? Hey, it's good to see you. I don't really care how you're doing, and it's not really good to see you. I'm just being polite. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying for you. I mean, I am glad to see you. But I'm saying sometimes we'll do that. Hey, good to see you. Good to see you. How you doing? Yeah. Don't tell me, because it's not really a question, right? This is what we do in English, right? So I said, this missionary was coming, and he was about to leave. I said, oh, good to meet you, brother. I said, I'll be praying for you. I was just, and he looked me in the eye, just square in the eye, just said, will you? I mean, penetrated my soul. Will you? It was like, how you doing? He said, and he starts telling me, I'm like, nah, man, it just smote my heart. This was the missionary that seen, I'm talking about this missionary, I'm talking about, he had seen, I can tell you folks, this is probably 25, 26 years ago. And I can still see myself standing in the foyer looking, I still picture it like it was yesterday. And I thought, wow, this was somebody that really understood the power of prayer. And I was using it as some kind of catchword or a mystical, like, yeah, I'll be throwing, hey, God, I want to pray for all the missionaries. No, we're talking about something. Paul had it. Listen, he believed in the power of prayer because he had continually saw prayer's power through his life and ministry. He continually saw it. Well, we're praying. I think that's what we got. We got to do more than just let me just throw up a prayer request. Let's think about this like I'm actually getting a hold of God for somebody. God, would you do this in that person's life? Not just do this. Hey, God, would you just throw a blanket over them? Let's pray for something. And then, by the way, when we believe it like that, it means something. When I asked him, hey, brother, would you pray for me? So Paul had this expectation. To Paul, the power of prayer of the brethren was remarkable. Nevertheless, Paul did also realize that death was likely imminent. It's what it says in verse 20, we find that, and according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He knew that was there. I mean, he knew that was likely imminent. So no matter what direction this circumstance would go, he was going to live in a way that he wouldn't be ashamed of. That's the thing, folks, right there, is what he had. He said, no matter what, he said that in nothing I shall be ashamed. I'm going to live away whether I'm going to die or whether I'm going to live. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm going to live in a way, I'm going to make choices in a way that no matter how it falls down. You ever got startled or scared by something? You kind of holler and then you look around. Anybody see that? Right? You ever fall? Did you ever like trip and fall? And especially for men, ladies, maybe it's not as big a deal. Maybe, I don't know. But for men, you fall down and the first thing you do is look, who saw it? And then you're like, okay. You don't care how bad you're hurt first. You care, did other people see me fall? That's the first thing, right? And then if people saw you, you're going to be like, oh, now I'm really hurt because I got to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the way it is. Think about this. If I'm going to die, if I'm going to go unto death, I want to live in a way that I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm going to live my life like I trust that I'm going there. I've seen people, when death became imminent, they turned into a faithless sap. No, I'm not ready, not ready. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, wait a minute. You didn't believe any of this stuff. It's easy to live for Jesus Christ when you don't have to live for Him. Right? It's easy to live for decisions and say, yeah, like Peter, Lord, I'll go with you. I'll die with you. Will you really, Peter? Will you really? I mean, because, you know, before morning, you're going to deny me thrice. You can see Peter. No, it won't. I mean, we don't get everything written. I can imagine Peter's like, I'm not going to argue with Jesus. I'm not going to argue with you. But I wouldn't. And then he finds himself there doing it. It's easy to say what I'll do for the Lord when there's no requirement to do it. But Paul said, listen, no matter if it's my life or my death, I'm going to live in a way that there's no shame. No matter what direction, I'm going to live that way. And as he always lived, it says, as always. He lived in boldness for Christ. He said, I'm going to continue with that. So, his singular purpose was that Christ would be magnified, whether it was by his life or his death, didn't matter. Wow. Can you say that this morning? I mean, listen, I'm not saying, well, you ought to be there, brother. You know, I'm just saying, it ought to be a place where we get and trust and get a hold of this thing of, I'm almost jumped just ahead. The choice was not his to determine. By the way, it's not ours to determine. It's the Lord's will, how God wants to use us. Therefore, look at verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Listen, folks, this is the place that we ought to be. If we believe what we say we believe, I think this is the challenge with people not believe, not follow. I mean, I'm not saying everyone, because we find this in the Scriptures, but there's a lot of people that people that are close to us, they don't believe what we're trying to sell them, what we're trying to tell them, because we don't act like we believe it. And so we kind of shrivel up into when a challenge comes, we shrivel up and shrivel away from God. We draw away from Him. And when we say, yeah, no, listen, I'm going to trust God and you should trust God, it's like, well, you don't even trust God. Yeah, but it's different for me. I trust Him for salvation. I just didn't trust Him for other things. Like, come on. So you're going to trust him for your soul for all eternity, but you can't trust him about, you know, not doing this sin or about lying. Doesn't that seem kind of, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to trust him. So it can be kind of a challenge there. And this is what Paul said. He said, listen, really listen, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So neither is a bad choice. Neither one of them is a bad choice. Whether I live or die, it's not a bad. Neither one's a bad choice. That's what he's saying. For to me to live is Christ, and if I die, I gain. Both things, good choice. To live means to live for Christ, to exalt him, to glorify him, to proclaim his worthy name. Yet to die is also gain. It is to be with the Lord. Verse 22 says this. He says, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." So if he lives here on the earth, in this flesh, there's still more fruit to gain for Christ. Here's what Paul was saying. He said, for me, if I remain, you see, to live in the flesh, this is the fruit. This is the fruit of my labor. Listen, he said, can I tell you what, folks? We're going to get to heaven and we're going to give an account. We're going to be rewarded for what you've done in this body. You believe that? You better, because that's what the Bible says. So I just don't know if I agree with that. Well, that's just what the Bible says. We're going to be rewarded. So based on the rewards of what we do for him in this body, there's more fruit to be gained. You say, so is this just the life of who gains the most? Listen, folks, there's a reward. And the Lord tells us about the reward, which means this. It's important enough for us to realize, for me to, God has given that to me to say, you better live like it makes sense. Live in a way you're not going to be ashamed, because you're going to be rewarded based on those things. So that's something that's coming. He said, for me to remain, it's fruit. It's fruit of my labor. Still more to gain. And he said, but which way to choose? He said, life with more gain for the Lord, or death is the burden of this sin-sick world to be removed from me. Wouldn't you be glad to be done with this sin-filled world? Man. He said, here's what he said, it's too hard to choose. It's too hard to choose to stay here with the Lord, to stay here and serve and have more to give unto the Lord, or to just go be with him. He said it this way, what I shall choose, I wot not. It really means this, I don't know. That's the wot, means to know. He said, I don't know what to choose. Man, it's hard. Which one? Well, here's the kicker. We don't get to choose. Amen? Or can I say this? We don't have to choose. We don't have to choose. Well, am I going to live for him? Am I going to die for him? Well, good thing is you don't have to choose. Are you ready to die? Yeah, I'm ready to die, but I'd like to go ahead and live a little bit. I'm ready to die and go be with the Lord. I just, maybe not today. Right? I don't know. It's a difficult situation to choose from. Look at verse 23 now. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which, by the way, is far better. Verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Obviously, to be with the Lord is far better. Okay? Just to be with the Lord. Nobody would say, I don't know if I'm ready to go be with the Lord. Well, something wrong with you. You probably, if you're saying I'm not ready to be with the Lord, you're probably not going to be straightening up your life right away. Anyhow, there's an issue here. Can I say this? It's not even a close decision over this life in this world versus being with the Lord in heaven. That's why we rejoice when people go to be with the Lord. If they're saved, it's a celebration. Amen. It's a praise. They went to be with the Lord. Right? That's why we have in our bulletin this morning, My wife's grandmother went to go be with the Lord last week, and week before last, and we are, it's a praise that she's with the Lord, right? She's with the Lord, that's a praise. It's not, we're not here saying, oh no. No, it's better. It's better. We've been asking God, would you do that thing? But Paul continually had a desire for those that he ministered to. He could not get away from his role as a servant to God's people. Maybe even so much so that he thought that burden, that desire that he had, was going to be the Lord's direction. Man, I so badly want to be ministered to these people that I've reached. He said, that's certainly going to be. Look at verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He said, I love the attitude of the Apostle Paul. I really do. He continually wanted others to rejoice in the Lord. You know, because his life was full of rejoicing. No, his life was full of trials, full of frustrations, full of difficulties, even torments and imprisonments. But he knew the joy of the Lord. And he wanted the brethren to have more of it. I don't know if he said, I know it might look bad. I don't think he said that. He said, I take joy in my tribulations. I get to suffer for the Lord's name. Wow. What a blessing. Is that how we explain it? Got a prayer request. It's been hard. Somebody looked at me really funny because I was a Christian. And so would y'all pray for me? It's hard at work because I'm the only Christian, and when I go to pray, people mock me. I mean, it's just suffering. You know, I'm not saying we here pray. I'm just saying we kind of get this kind of situation. And Paul rejoiced. His spirit was different. He got a hold of what, by the way, his spirit wasn't different because he was some supernatural person. It's just he got a hold of this. His life is full of trials, and though his life was full of all of that, he knew the joy of the Lord, and he wanted the brethren to have it. So here he is, vacillating back and forth in this thing. He said, I expect to come to you, but I might die. I have confidence that I'll see you, but even if I don't make it. look at verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Number two, becometh the gospel. Become the gospel. Listen, this is what Paul wanted for these he had reached for Christ. That their life, their conversation would be so filled with the will, the presence, and the desire of the Lord that their life would become the gospel. That's what he wanted for them. And can I say that's what God wants for us? A walking presentation and representation of Christ. For, to me, to live is Christ. He said, this is what I want. He said, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. He said, what I want to hear of you is that you've become this gospel message, whether I'm there or not. Paul said, whether I'm there or not, this is what I want. In this endeavor, the Apostle Paul gets back to the purpose of this epistle that he's writing to the church at Philippi. Look at verse 27 again, at the second part of it. That I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast. Watch what he says here. That ye stand fast in, what's that say? one spirit, with one mind, doing what? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. The only way that the gospel will continue to go forth as it had was through the ministry of the local church. Listen, Christianity is not a Lone Ranger ministry. We don't get out there and say, I'm gonna do this. No, I'm nothing. Right? It's not how God intended it to work. Therefore, they need to continue to be of one spirit, going together with the same desire, but also with one mind, having the same goal and direction of elevating Christ before self. There's a phrase here that depicts what this would look like for the church. He uses this phrase, striving together. Out there at West Coast Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist College and Lancaster Baptist Church, that's what they named their publishing company, Striving Together. And that's the some of the materials we've had for discipleship and so forth. Striving together, some of the tracks we've got, striving together is this vision. We're in this thing together, right? We're in this thing together. That's what Paul is trying to get to here. The whole purpose of all that we are until we meet the Savior is for the faith of the gospel. Look at verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but unto you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Let me read the rest. Verse 30. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Here's Paul's desire for his own life. Here's Paul's desire. That others would follow him as he followed Christ. He said there in verse 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. He said, what you see in me, I want you up there, verse 28, he said, I want you, you're not just to believe on him, but you're also to suffer for his name's sake. I want you to see that what I've endured, I think it's fair to say what the Apostle Paul endured was at next level. Right? I mean, it was next level. Most humans are not going to deal with it. He said, well, some people died. What Paul did was live through things that should have killed him. And it continued. And we're going to see in the next chapter, in our morning service in the book of Acts, we're about to get to where Paul is going to turn to Christ, where Saul is going to turn to Christ to become Paul. And he said, the Lord said to that fellow, and he said, you're going to see what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. So Paul was, because of what he did, not just because, but God had set him apart that he was going to suffer. And listen, he said, you've seen it in me. He said, but you're not just to believe, you're to suffer. You're going to suffer some for my name. Suffer doesn't mean death, though. Suffer means maybe somebody mocks us for praying. Suffer means different things. But he's saying here, that which is happening to me, it has fallen out, it has produced the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm okay with that. So Paul said, I'm okay with that. I think Paul would say this, and I'd do it all over again. Therefore, what he's saying to the church at Philippi, you do it also. It'd be all right. You'd be all right. It'd be all right if it hurts a little bit. It'd be all right if you sacrifice some things. Yeah, no. Listen, to suffer for the Lord's sake sometimes means I don't get to do what I want to do. Okay, often it means I don't get to what I want. Often, what I think is going to make me happy, God said, I ain't going to make you happy. I'm going to give you something else. But it still hurts to have to sacrifice what I think is going to make me happy. And on the other, Paul said, it's going to be all right because on the other side of that is joy. Joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It's different. He said, just can you imagine Paul just saying this? Trust me, it works. I think Paul maybe would end this chapter with this. I mean, he already did end this chapter, but he ended with this thought. It was this. You won't regret it. Father, I do pray that you would help us this morning as we look into your word and see the life of Paul and really the message that you've given us through your servant, by your Spirit, that we might also put our hope and our trust in you. Lord, this world will attack us. It'll come at us hard. Lord, it's confusing. We don't understand. We don't know. We're in a dilemma. We don't know which way you want us to go. We don't know which way how our life is going to go. But Lord, you've given us your truth. So Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way. Lord, help us to grab a hold of this message that the Apostle Paul was given to the church at Philippi. We put our trust, our hope in you, that for me to live is Christ. Lord, have your will and way in the service to follow. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.